continuing with Miklos. In the dissecting room, for lack of something better to do, ut aliquid videatur. I invented some jobs to keep my colleagues occupied. I had them clean the surgical instruments till they shone like display pieces, then sort them and put them away. The mosquito netting after the battle of the previous day was also in need of repair. As for myself, I was seated at the table, my head swathed in bandages and adhesive tape, mentally compiling a list of complaints and requests I wanted to present to Dr. Mengele at the earliest possible opportunity. For one thing, I planned to tell him that none of the crematorium rooms was suitable as a dissecting room, for the simple reason that no matter where you happen to be here, you could not escape the heart-rending screams of the deported on their way to death. Screams that pierced to the very marrow of your bones. Whether it was the gas chamber or a bullet in the neck, the screams were the same. It was impossible for me to concentrate properly on my work here, since the day of my arrival, when I had learned the fate of the 11 preceding commandos. I had lived in a world of constant dread. 4 months of nerve-wracking tension, waiting, day by day, for the moment when our commando would meet with the same fate. I also planned to ask him to be lenient with my work in the future if it proved to be inaccurate. Why? Because no later than yesterday, October 6th, 1944, when I had been ordered to perform an autopsy on the body of a Russian officer and to prepare the dissection report, Number 3 crematorium had blown up before my eyes, and we had been attacked by a battalion of SS troops. Howitzers had been brought. Police dogs unleashed on us. Hand grenades had exploded around us. SS soldiers with fixed bayonets had charged into this so-called scientific institute I was supposed to direct and run us into the courtyard, striking and kicking as we went. Then we'd been made to lie down in the mud. I'd come within a hair's breadth of being transformed from a corridor into a subject for dissection myself. It was true that Dr. Mengele had saved me from this fate and rescued me from the Rose of the Damned, but only to be returned to this house of sorrow for a new reprieve of 4 months. I would ask him to admit, frankly, what an impossible situation ours had been yesterday afternoon and evening. For even after the worst was over, I had yet had to give first aid to 2 SS non-coms who 5 hours earlier had kicked and struck me unmercifully and then waited, their guns aimed at my head, for the signal to pull the trigger. Such were the complaints I intended making to my chief. But principally, I wanted to prevail upon him to have the dissecting room and its personnel transferred to some place in the KZ better suited to research. Just as I reached this point in my musings, Dr. Mengele opened the door. As the rules prescribed, I rose and came to attention. And as the senior member present announced, "Captain, 3 doctors and 1 lab assistant at their posts." He looked quizzically at my bandaged head. "What happened to you?" he asked, with an enigmatic smile that seemed half serious, half joking. The nature of his question gave me the impression that he would have liked to pretend that yesterday's events had never happened. So I didn't answer him. My list of complaints withered till only the 1 obsessing request remained. "Captain, I said unconvincingly. This environment is highly unsuitable for scientific research. Wouldn't it be possible to transfer the dissecting room to a better place? He looked at me steadily, his expression hardening. What's wrong? He said coldly. Getting sentimental? I regretted having let myself go, having momentarily forgotten the discretion I usually displayed in his presence. I had dared criticize the one place, the one environment, where my soft-brained superior really felt at home. The blazing glow of the pyres and the spiraling smoke of the crematorium stacks, the air heavy with the odor of burning bodies, the walls resounding with the screams of the damned, and the metallic rattle of machine guns fired point blank. It was to this that the demented doctor came for rest and relaxation after each selection, after each display of fireworks. This was where he spent all his free time, here, in this man-made hell. The fiendish physician of Auschwitz made me cut open the bodies of hundreds of freshly murdered people, whose flesh was also used for the cultivation of bacteria in an electric incubator. Obsessed with the belief that he had been chosen to discover the cause of multiple births, here, within these blood-stained walls, Dr. Mengele sat hunched for hours at a time over his microscopes. And my interjection, his, Miklos's, is an exquisite empathy, isn't it?